We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of 3Maw.
Hello and welcome into another edition of 3Maw. I am John Kurtz, joined by Derek Young from K-State Online, Cole Manbeck, former beat writer for the Manhattan Mercury. We are talking spring football today. That's right. It is spring football season. I know there's a lot going on with basketball, with the portal, etc., but we got to get down to some Avery Johnson talk today, people. And I know you all understand the glaring importance of that. Our friends at Holiday Distillery do as well, and you can enjoy this podcast with a nice glass of 360 vodka or Ben Holiday bottled in bond bourbon, even if you are listening to it at the same time of day that we are recording this at 8:17 a.m. It doesn't matter. 360 vodka, Ben Holiday bottled in bond bourbon, great for any occasion, great for the NCAA tournament coming up this weekend. If you're going to be watching there with some friends, make sure that you have it on hand and support our friends at Holiday Distillery who do such a great job of supporting us. We are going to look at previewing position by position here, what's going on in spring football, working these shows in for you as K-State has what is likely to be a preseason top 25 team. According to some, preseason favorite to win the Big 12, depending on where you're looking at. Vegas odds right now certainly seem to point toward that. So it is a year that has the potential to be very big and get K-State to the college football playoff. Before we get into specific quarterback talk, and I know this will be some of the conversation, DY, but there have been a couple of open practices, spring practices going on in general. So what are the observations you've taken away, or at least the most pertinent observations you've taken away or heard from folks in spring ball so far?
Yeah, well, first, I think it is important to know how especially in a Chris Klein, how Kansas State kind of approaches spring ball, where not taking it as seriously as others is not probably the 100% perfect description, but they go a little lighter than some teams. Like, they don't have a spring game because they want to avoid injuries. They use it very much so as an outlet for guys to recover from injuries, to avoid injuries, and just rest the guys that have taken a number of snaps already in the past. So you're probably looking at more mental reps for a certain group of guys that, you know, just won't, you know, participate in live action very much. I remember 2 years ago, I think it was Deuce Vaughn's final year, and I never saw him take one live rep during practice. So they are a little bit more careful than probably just about every other program when it comes to guys that are already well seasoned. So you're seeing a lot of newer faces in terms of those live reps. I know the practice that we went to, Desmond Purnell was basically being a coach rather than a player. The same for VJ Payne. Guys like that on defense that have already played a number of snaps, that they probably say, you know what, what they would gain from taking, you know, a ton of live reps in the spring is probably just not worth the squeeze of also perhaps getting them injured. So I appreciate actually that approach, and I think that's something to take into account when you, when people do start to take or try to build like two deeps or depth charts, that you're really not watching anything during spring ball that is a great indicator of that, just because guys are out. But aside from that, you know, that you're seeing some, you know, maybe some, I guess some hints at what the offensive line could look like. I think Easton Kilty, for example, as I said, you're not getting maybe a good read on the depth chart, but he's been primarily at offensive tackle when we've been there instead of an offensive guard, even though he can play both. So that's something to consider. That's a detail to know. Just kind of different way of practicing too, right? They're not sticking with their own position coach at times when they go through like position drills at the beginning of practice. I thought that was interesting. I don't know if that's a Connor Riley wrinkle to how they do work, or if that is a Matt Wells wrinkle to how they do work. But like a running back will not just be with Brian Anderson. He'll go through a circuit where he's also with Brian Lepak or Matthew Middleton to maybe, you know, add some versatility to their game and widen their skill set. That hasn't been done in the past. So offensively, you're seeing some changes because you do have new offensive assistants in charge.
That's very interesting. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I guess if you're already using spring as a place where you're going to not do as much of the like, hey, live reps, 1v1 sort of thing, then it makes sense to widen your skill set a little bit. Maybe that's the theory there. That probably is a Matt Wells thing, right? I mean, he's the only new guy in the room.
Or it's a Connor Riley thing, because now he gets to pick, because it was more offensively driven than defensively driven, and he's now, it could be both. It could be one or the other. I wouldn't take that away. Another thing, we saw Drew Lytle. He's back. He's a quality control coach. Mm-hmm. And it's probably good to have another offensive line expert on the staff, while Connor Riley's probably not getting to devote as much time to that group.
Was this a full practice you were at, DY, or was it a limited 20, 25 minute?
Like, so, we're probably there for 30, 40 minutes. What?
Okay. Glad we got that cleared up. Thank you, Cole.
I was just wondering how much you were able to truly observe. Like, if you were able to get observations of Matt Wells and how he interacts to the point you just made.
Matt Wells observation was that he was, like, right up by them, right? He was working very, very closely with, like, the quarterbacks while they were taking snaps. Was that it?
Yeah, a lot of personal conversation. It wasn't anything like a berating or shouting across the field. Just a lot of calm, cool, collected, like personal conversations in between reps, stuff like that. Connor Riley, not as, you know, colorful or, you know, as, you know, he's known as one of, especially with this position group, as a guy that will coach the crap very hard out of his guys. I thought his demeanor was a little bit more subdued now that he's the offensive coordinator.
Now, I know you said several guys were sitting out resting, which Chris Kleiman often does with the veteran guys. But aside from the guys that were out resting, were you able to get a sense of kind of like what maybe the starting offensive line looked at? I know you just said Easton Kilty was working at tackle, but like kind of maybe how they view, for the most part, the ones at different position groups?
Well, that particular day, Carver Willis also was not playing. He was off getting rest as well. And in every other, and I will say this, I'm in the group that I saw that looked, appeared to be the ones, didn't have Andrew Linegang, but in clips like the clips that John has had, I think, ripped from Jace Brown's Instagram, Andrew Linegang has often been the left guard with what appeared to be the starting offensive line. But the time I saw, it was not. It was from left to right, Easton Kilty, Hadley Panzer at left guard rather than Linegang. Same Hecht at center, Portier at right guard, Pastore at right tackle. But when John, the clip that John had, when Avery, the long pass from Avery to Jace Brown from Brown's Instagram, it was Panzer at center and Linegang at left guard.
Okay.
Well, Linegang was on the, they had a clip from the K-State football account the other day where he was breaking it down. Like, they threw it to him and he was the guy out there being vocal.
Yeah. So I think that they have different combinations of starting offensive lines that they're still ripping through.
Yeah, I only ask because I think that's probably the position group that maybe has the most question marks in terms of who the new guys are going to be that are going to be starting, with the losses of Cooper Beebe and KT Leviston on the left side. So was just curious for your perspective and takeaways on that front. And, you know, yeah. I know we've talked about adding another offensive lineman through the portal in the spring window and didn't know if you still had that sense. I know you have to worry about transfers, though.
I worry about transfer out, so I hope they don't do that, because I hear the same about receiver, and I hope they don't do that either. Now, maybe you can do that and it doesn't hurt, but yeah, I mean, you got to worry about when you bring in guys, you can lose guys too. So I know that they'll keep that in mind. They're smarter than me. They know that there's always that possibility, especially with the unlimited transfers at this point. But for this particular portion of spring football, I think they're just working on player development of the offensive line, building those guys up and getting them ready. And then by the end, they'll have an idea of who those guys are that they really, really like, and then go through the rest of the offseason. I don't think you need to have determined who your starting offensive line is by the end of spring ball.
Yep.
By the first week of fall camp, you probably do. But right now, I think what you need to be doing in spring ball with that offensive line is getting as many of those guys that you think you'll count on as many reps as possible, so that they are in peak performance when you are determining, that first week of fall camp, who that starting group will be.
Well, D.Y., I'm glad you brought up the transfer issue here, because a lot of people have asked us, I know, like on the Discord, and by the way, if you want to be a part of that, patreon.com/threemom to get signed up on our Patreon, not only getting tidbits of inside info there on the Discord, basically a group text if you are unfamiliar, that you can be a part of for $5 a month, but also just a lot of discussion and people asking questions. And people have thrown around the clip of Josh Pate, who said, like, hey, it's going to be a wild spring where there will be a lot of people transferring. The spring portal period, right? Like once spring ball is portal opens, that there are going to be a ton of guys moving, because no longer are you protected by, hey, it's a one-time transfer. You know, like anybody can go and move freely now. So we've literally never seen that before. And he said he has talked to multiple coaches at like high-level schools who already know in their mind, like, well, I'm not going to have that guy after spring, and I already know who I'm backfilling him with from another school. And pointed out, like, some schools are going to get really victimized by this. Some schools obviously will benefit. What level of concern is there, I guess, about that? Not that we would know about anybody specifically here at this point, but I do, my take on it was kind of like, if you're a Big 12 school in general, I would be a little bit leery, because where does everybody come running from the Big 10 and the SEC when they want coaches? I mean, we always see the Big 12 coaches thrown on that list. The assistants obviously get rated pretty frequently, so they'll start looking down that way for players, I would have to imagine, too. And for the league at large, you've had a lot of wins. Like, for instance, Ollie Gordon, Oklahoma State kept him away from a lot of the vultures trying to come in and pick him up. But, you know, do things change there at spring? Do people up offers? Whatever it might be. It's a very unnerving time, I think, to be a college football coach right now because of that, particularly one that's not up at the elite highs of the sport. Everybody else, I think, has to be really on guard right now.
I mean, that's part of what the spring portal is. Better get your guys paid.
Well, I think that's why Kansas State's been so cognizant on making sure the NIL is shored up. Again, catsnil.com. If you want to become a member, there's a $100,000 match gift from a lead donor that will come once they get to 500 members, and they're only about 50 or so members away from reaching that 500 membership mark. Obviously, there's other donors that are part of the membership program, but go check that out. Sign up for the membership program, and a $100,000 match will occur, and then you'll have a chance to win a signed football or basketball as part of that. One of the new members, or one of the first 500, will have a chance to win that. But yeah, I think the NIL being shored up is a big thing. And I think the relationships that Chris Klieman and this coaching staff has with these guys has really limited a lot of the transfers. I mean, most of the transfers we've seen the last couple of years, guys, have been kind of mutual decisions, right? I mean, there hasn't been a lot of star power that Kansas State has lost that they really wanted to retain for the most part. So I don't worry about it as much for Kansas State. And part of that is also, so with a healthy NIL, and a team can expected to contend for a Big 12 championship with high expectations coming off a 9-win year and the continuity of this coaching staff, I don't think Kansas State is as big of a risk as maybe some of your other schools that are maybe expected to have like 6-7-win type seasons, right? And maybe NIL aren't in as strong a shape. So I think it could actually arguably benefit Kansas State because K-State has 6 to 7 scholarships they need to fill. And now they don't have to fill them all, but there's some spots on the roster I'd like to see the Wildcats fill in the spring window to shore things up from a depth perspective. And so maybe they could land a couple of talented pieces in the spring portal window as a result of that.
Fair point. I mean, I think, like, I was going through my head, I was like, Kobe Savage, I think, is one that you would have liked to have kept around, maybe named Matlack.
That's fair. They tried to keep Matlack.
I don't know that they lost Matlack because of NIL, but I think they did lose Kobe Savage because of NIL.
Yeah. Well, and not even really Cole. Yeah, Cole's point just being like transfers that haven't been mutual decisions. I was like, you know, because even Will Lee, you know, I mean, people would point to how good he was, but I think by the end of that, that felt pretty mutual.
There was not a lot of consternation about that departure. I think A&M probably had some discussions about whether or not to truly go that route as well.
But I mean, it's a fair point by Josh Pade because
Caden Proctor, who's already leaving Iowa after one spring practice to return to Alabama, is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the spring window.
Well, because you've got these coaches now that they know where their holes are on their roster after going through the spring cycle, and they're like, okay, well, we need to address this spot still, apparently, and they're going to go out and tamper to try to fill those spots. So, look, if I knew a guy wasn't going to be on my roster practicing with my current roster in the spring, I'd kick him off the team, though, to be clear. I wouldn't have him part of the locker room if I knew somebody was going to be gone. The way Josh Pate framed it up, like, there was a school that specifically knew these guys, X and X, were going to be gone. Well, they're not participating in my spring practice, if I'm a coach.
Yeah, well, but I think that was more, these guys aren't good enough, and I can't wait to kick them out of here.
Yeah, so, yeah. Fine line there of not coming across as too crass and risking other things.
I gotcha.
I'm upgrading from these guys.
I think I misinterpreted it. That makes sense. That makes more sense.
Yeah. Well, regardless, if you're going to be an asshole kicking guys off your team, you can still look good at Home Field Apparel, I suppose. Homefieldapparel.com is the way that you can do that. They've got 100+ schools up there, but of course, we know that you're going to be there to get gear for the Cats. They've got 40+ K-State designs. Just had a new drop pretty recently within the last couple of months. It was awesome. Get the K-State shooting shirt. Make sure I wear that everywhere. That thing looks incredible. You can get 15% off your first order using promo code 3MA23. Promo code 3MA23 for 15% off your first order at homefieldapparel.com. We're back to talk QBs in just a moment.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. kcsn.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, if you have been paying attention to Jace Brown's Instagram or any of the video clips that have come out of some of these open practices from the folks in the TV world, Avery Johnson looks pretty good. Avery Johnson, good at football, seems to be confirmed there. Particularly, Jace Brown put on Instagram that one-handed grab that he had, which was a crazy catch, but also just an unbelievable throw into a ridiculously tight window along the sideline. Jace had another couple that were up there yesterday. I saw. I did not rip those for Twitter, but I if you want it, it's depending on when you're looking at this, you might not be able to catch the story still. But they were up yesterday, as of Tuesday. So there've been a lot of highlights there. I mean, look, we know Avery Johnson is going to be great, but D.Y., it seems like from all accounts, not just you guys getting a chance to watch him, but what is being said behind the scenes, that he's as advertised right now, and there's a reason that this guy is on the list of, you know, preseason Heisman odds in Vegas or offshore or otherwise right now, because the word is out, like, that this guy is a stud.
Yeah, I think the performance, but behind closed doors, the little that we did see last year, the offseason thus far right now is that the, you know, the performance is matching the hype, maybe exceeding the hype, as the buzz that I keep hearing.
Yeah.
From those within the walls is better than advertised, not as advertised, better than advertised. I mean, I could go on and on, but the gist of it is, yeah, he's been as good as we expect him to be, probably better.
How much bigger do you think he looks, D.Y.? Like, how much weight has he put on?
He's always, his body type's not going to change, in my opinion. He's always going to be pretty slender. I don't think he's going to become a guy that gets thick. But I mean, he's adding weight, but I don't know, it's really all that like noticeable weight. Cause I think he's just a guy that carries his weight well. Like, people can gain weight, but their body type doesn't really change. So, but my opinion has always been that that's always been a little bit overblown. Because I've covered Avery Johnson since he was like 14 or 15 years old. I've never seen him get injured. Now, knock on wood, I get it. Hey, I might have just cheesed him, and I hope. Yeah. But like, he is so elusive. He doesn't really take a lot of direct hits. He didn't even last year.
And let's be honest, I don't think Matt Wells and Connor Riley are going to be running a whole lot of A-gap QB power with Avery Johnson right up the middle. I mean, most of the things are going to be out on the perimeter for the most part. And Avery's just got to be smart to get down and avoid hits, get out of mounts, because he's so vital, which is what we're partially here to talk about, is the depth in the QB room as well and keeping him healthy. But yeah, I mean, look, Avery Johnson is plus 3,500, according to DraftKings, and the Heisman odds, that's tied for the 14th best mark in the country. Interestingly enough, when I was looking at that, DJ Giddens is plus 20,000, which is tied for top 70 in the country in best Heisman odds. And there's a reason K-State...
Well, you guys have to get paid.
Yeah. K-State plus 7,000 overall to win a national championship. That's the 19th best odds in the country, and a lot of that is because of, obviously, most of that is largely due to having a quarterback like Avery Johnson that's as dynamic as him. So, I cannot wait to see. I mean, the highlights are insane, John. Like, you put those on my radar, the throws to Jace Brown. He's just dropping the ball in the bucket. And, I mean, that's not even to get us off topic, but goodness, Jace Brown looks good. I mean, I woke up this morning thinking Jace is going to be there.
Yeah, and stop putting that on your Instagram so all these other teams can see, Jace.
I'm not worried about that at all. I don't. Kansas State will take care of Jace Brown, and Jace Brown being best friends with Avery Johnson, that's not something that I'm worried about. But I did, as I was watching those clips, I said to myself, yeah, this kid's the best wide receiver Kansas State's had since Tyler Lockett. Like, I don't think there's any question that he'll be the best since Lockett, which is going back 10 years.
Boy, really building up the hype here, Cole. I don't know if the coach is going to want to listen to this and hear us, you know, Avery Johnson exceeding the hype. Cole's calling Jace Brown the next Tyler Lockett, you know, next 10-year NFL vet. I mean, I'm just trying to caution everybody here. No, I mean, it's a fair point. There has not been a look, no offense to K-State's receivers in the last 10 years, but there has not been a ton of competition for that point. So I'm with you there. And that obviously helps with Avery, right? I mean, a big part of this is the weapons that connects kind of the conversation to quarterbacks here. So I'll allow a little bit of receiver talk there, or even tight end talk. Like, do we feel like, I know I've seen people on social media doing a lot of like, hey, you know, come at me with like a better skill position group, and it usually turns into just a fight between K-State and KU fans who both have pretty good skill position groups to boast. But you know, for K-State, obviously that becomes Jace Brown, Avery Johnson, DJ Giddens, Garrett Oakley. Am I missing anybody else that you might throw in there? Like, how do we feel about where that group of offensive firepower stacks up with the rest of the league right now?
I mean, I would say probably among the best. I mean, DJ Giddens, I think, is among the best running backs. Jace Brown, heck of a receiver. I expect a really good second year from Keegan Johnson. You brought in Dante Cephas, Jaden Jackson return. Garrett Oakley is a high ceiling tight end. To be honest, that's probably your biggest question. I think tight end's a bigger question mark than receiver, just because there's a lot more unproven production there. You have to, those are guys, they're, you know, Garrett Oakley, a guy with a high ceiling production, you know, being compared upside wise to Ben Sinnott, but he hasn't done it. There's guys in the receiver room that have done it.
Well, you know, you guys know me. I've been on the Garrett Oakley fan club for quite some time. I think Garrett Oakley will have 500 plus yards receiving this year as a tight end. I think he's going to be a terrific tight end for Kansas State. Now, to DY's point, I think the question then becomes, who's your number two tight end? You know, is it going to be Will Swanson, who's more of a blocking tight end? You know, who's your number two pass catching tight end? Is it, I don't know, DY, do you have a name? You got Lofton as well. You got Andrew Metzger, who was a redshirt last year out of Colorado, who I think is supremely talented as well. I love getting him out of high school, you know, over Nebraska and Colorado. Have you heard any buzz on the other tight ends?
Not necessarily. I think you're probably going to see Swanson more than anything. But
so I guess, you know, to me, some of this is, and this will perfectly transition us into the next point, I feel very good about the front line. I do have some questions about the depth on offense in places. Certainly a quarterback behind Avery Johnson, at running back behind DJ Giddens, which I know we can save that for a running back episode, but that seems to be where there's, I would say I seem to disagree a little bit with what the coaching staff's stance is on that right now. I would still contend, like, look, I want Keegan Johnson to be good, but Keegan Johnson's got to show me that. I made the decision of buying in way too hard last time. So, I mean, I love Jace Brown. And then, yeah, Garrett Oakley, I think, great. Not so sure behind him. What else you have at tight end? So they've got really, really talented guys who I think can pop, but what is the depth behind there? And as it relates to quarterback, you are correct. And again, knock on wood, we have not seen Avery Johnson really battle injuries at any point throughout his career so far. But we know, not just if you followed K-State football, where it seems like basically every single year from the time of Colin Klein on, you've been dealing with a quarterback injury. I mean, hell, you go back to Grant Gregory in 2009, right? He was always playing injured that year and switching off with Carson Kaufman. Like, it just, there's always been some of that with K-State football. And a part of Avery Johnson's allure is that he's going to run the ball. Whether that's designed runs or not, he's going to be putting himself in harm's way there. So you got to think about that. And if you look around the rest of the league, there were tons of teams that were on second and third string quarterbacks throughout the last couple of years. So it's just sort of a fact of life now, and K-State lost a lot from the QB room of guys transferring out, understandably so. Where are we at with Knuth as the backup quarterback? Beyond, you're pretty young there. Blake Barnett, I think we're fascinated by the upside with him and a great athlete, but probably not a guy that's going to be ready to do a ton right away. Like, what are we hearing on where things sit as far as the backup quarterback goes, and what would happen if something, God forbid, did happen to Avery Johnson?
I think the backup quarterback this year is probably someone not on the roster right now. To put it that way, I think they're going to have to go get one.
Well, what does that mean with Knuth then, and what they've seen from him so far? Like, what is then the...
I would expect him to be the third string quarterback this year.
Okay.
Well, so does that mean, D.Y., like, I mean, he's going into his third year, right, of college football. He should be ready to go if, like, he has a future, right, at this
point. Yeah, I don't know. I think they'll bring in someone for him to battle it out in fall camp. That's what I expect.
Okay. I mean, that's kind of where I was at, Cole. Like, Jacob Knuth has been... That was a while ago, and I remember his visit coming to K-State, which was obviously very eventful. K-State wanted him very badly. He went to Minnesota, came back around. You felt great about getting him without having to use the scholarship right away. It felt like a completely stacked, loaded quarterback room that you had last year, and that there would be a lot put on his shoulders to be a guy who could be ready to step in there. And it's kind of go time if you are going to be somebody that can contribute at this level. So I guess the good news on that front then is that the spring portal is more open than ever. Like, my question was always going to be, I mean, how do you do this? Like, what is the approach? How do you finesse the portal here? Because you have one of the best quarterbacks in the country as your starter. That's not going to be real alluring for a lot of guys. Like, who is the guy? What is the situation that the guy is in right now of somebody that you might be able to pluck to pull in for the backup quarterback? Like, is it a guy who's in a 2-3 battle somewhere else at the Power 5 level? Is it, I assume it's not going to be a starter at a lower level because they're not going to likely want to transfer to be a backup, even if you sell them on, hey, quarterback injuries happen a lot. That's where my curiosity is like, what is the scenario that fits the guy who's going to come be the backup quarterback or compete, even just compete to be the backup quarterback at K-State?
Yeah, it might be a true redshirt freshman somewhere else that you can say in a year or two, you could get considerable playing time that maybe they can't see somewhere else. Could be an older guy that's already a backup quarterback somewhere that you know is kind of skilled, because you know about him, that is the second or third string. You tell him to come in here and he's can do the same, and obviously has a chance to play on a Big 12 championship team at the same time. So, look, it's not going to be easy, but it's also not impossible. A little bit of a different situation because he has less eligibility remaining, but Dante Moore did agree to go on at Oregon, basically to be the backup for a year under Dylan Gabriel. At K-State, you're talking at least two because of Avery, but again, it's not impossible, and there is going to probably be a large supply available again because of the unlimited transfer.
Do you think this supply will outweigh the demand, D.Y.?
Yeah, but will the supply be quality enough to be a noticeable upgrade? We'll see.
I know you've talked offline. Like, you've got the question on KSO on the boards, which everybody go sign up at KSO if you haven't. Lots of great information on there with recruiting, transfer portal updates, et cetera. But you've gotten the question on the boards, like, how, when you wrote about this topic, you know, to John's point, how easy of a sell is this? How hard of a sell is this to get a guy that's willing to step in with Avery Johnson having 2 years at least at Kansas State remaining? And I think your point, because there will be a lot more supply and the transfer portal window will be so crazy, you thought it'd be an easier sell, right, than probably what most people anticipate.
It's always going to be an easier sell now that it's an unlimited transfer because it's unlimited transfer, the supply is always going to outweigh the demand because the supply is everybody. Everybody's available.
You may come across, John, to your question, like, there might be a veteran guy that just sees, like, how many quarterbacks across college football have gotten banged up over the last couple of years and say, like, I want to go play at Kansas State. I think they can be a contender to win the Big 12, and I think I would have an opportunity to step in and get some snaps at some point in the season. Obviously, we don't want that, but perhaps that's, you know, a veteran guy would be more likely to see that opportunity.
Two little layers that could work in your favor, and I don't know if one of them is practical because I can't think of anyone off the top of my head, but if someone wants to come back closer to home, should that be Kansas State, give them that opportunity? I don't know who falls under that category. And two, if you're a backup somewhere on a team that's maybe not expecting to compete for a championship, you can go be a backup at Kansas State for a team that is expecting to compete for a championship.
I guess the other piece of this, too, is we're talking about the unlimited transfer rule being a part of why there's more supply. It could also be a selling point to be like, hey, if you don't like the situation after a year, you don't feel good about it, you can just leave again. You know, I mean, that may make it a little bit more enticing. It's not like you're stuck and locked in, where if it was a one-time transfer rule, you'd transfer in and then be stuck behind Avery Johnson for a couple of years without being able to freely move. So maybe that helps a bit there, too.
You don't even have to wait a year, John. You can just leave a month later, you know? Come in, you're there. Yeah. So according to what happened with the Caden Proctor situation, I think NIL also changes it, obviously, too, right? Like, maybe you could get a backup quarterback just by offering a little bit more than another school. Hey, you want to come play at Kansas State? Here's $50,000 to, you know, be a backup quarterback here. I don't know. Again, I'm floating out hypothetical numbers, not saying anyway that's what would happen. But that might be a way to entice somebody, just have a little stronger NIL offer to be a backup quarterback. Because a lot of schools probably aren't going to be offering large numbers to, you know, a guy to be your number two.
Interesting. Yeah, just overpaying K-State situation for the backup quarterback. That's probably a worthy investment, in all honesty. I would, if I were the guy making the decisions, that to me would be a worthy investment. And that's a new part of college football, is roster management and how you handle stuff like that. So Blake Barnett, early returns on Blake Barnett, who I know everybody was happy to secure the commitment of and the service, the recommitment of, the services of after Colin Klein left.
He's hurt, right? He got hurt during his senior season, so not playing right now.
Okay.
Yeah, which is probably just another reason. I mean, part of the benefit, you got him.
Because
you got him in for spring ball, which is great, but he's only able to take mental reps and not able to participate physically. So, you know, he's going to be a true freshman, and I think he's got a decent ceiling to him, but yeah, probably not going to be a guy that you can rely on to contribute this year. Again, I'm sure a lot of people listening to this are probably like, well, like, look, if something happened to Avery, knock on wood, then everything's going to blow up anyways with this season. So I just, you know, let's keep Avery healthy and let's have a great year. But I think it is an important question mark to bring up because of what you've seen across college football over the last couple of years. And we know Kansas State would like to get another quarterback in that room, a veteran quarterback.
Well, to me, yeah. I mean, I think it's if you want to have that opinion and just not worry about it, that's probably better for your health to not worry about it. But to me, that's kind of irresponsible based on just what the current climate is of college football and what we've always seen at K-State. Like, you have to worry about that. This has to become a pretty big issue because we're not even talking about, like, Avery Johnson goes down with, again, God forbid, like, season-ending injury. We're talking about, you know, you need to bridge the gap for a little while. I mean, look at Will Howard, Adrian Martinez from a couple of years ago, right? Like, you dealt with injuries that season and still won a Big 12 championship. So even if you do have to bridge a gap, that's something that becomes really important, that you have somebody that is capable of doing that. You know, I mean, hate to use the example, but like Kansas, not only with Jason Bean, but, you know, they were getting decent play. I mean, they came close to beating K-State with Cole Ballard, you know, down to their third string quarterback. They found a way to bridge a gap there and still be competitive. So I don't think you have to just go to we were talking about it the other day. Who is the guy that had the old quote of, I guess I was talking about it with my buddy Paul the other day, but the quote of, I think it was about Peyton Manning in practice. And they were like, you know, why are you not giving the number two any reps there? And the guy said, well, because if 18 goes down, we're fucked and we don't practice fucked, you know? I mean, you can't have that attitude. You can't have that attitude here.
Yeah, you're right. Was it Bruce Arians that said that when he was with the Colts, maybe?
I don't know.
That was definitely a Colts thing. And no, I've heard that quote, and it's kind of, I mean, That's probably true for a lot of teams. Look, quarterback depth's hard to find, hard to build, hard to create, hard to develop, hard to grow. Anywhere, no one has quarterback depth because any good quarterback's going to be starting somewhere and the rest aren't very good or not ready. Sell out Ohio State. They went to the Cotton Bowl without C.J. Stroud. Was it C.J. Stroud that they were without? Was that the quarterback last year?
No. He was doing well in the NFL.
Yeah, no. Was it? Who was the quarterback?
You're an Ohio State fan. How do you not know it?
Because there it is. Because Kyle McCord was the quarterback. He didn't want him. That's why. So, well, anyway, McCord doesn't play because he's transferring or whatever, and they have to play what Lincoln Kindholes and Devin Brown is wearing number 33. It looks like a travesty and a disaster, and they lose to Missouri in the Cotton Bowl because they have no offense to speak of, and that's Ohio State.
Well, I mean, Ohio State's probably going to have a quarterback in the portal, right? I mean, after spring ball. Aren't Devin Brown and Kindholes both there with Will Howard, and then they brought in a top five quarterback recruit?
They brought in, yeah, a top five quarterback and a top 10 quarterback recruit, right? They already had one signed before they took the Alabama signing.
Well, hey, all right. So how about this? Kindholes, who K-State also recruited, didn't they at one point? Didn't they offer Kindholes? Yeah. He was a top 10 quarterback recruit. Was he in the same class as Knuth? Or I think he was in Avery's class. Well, Kindholes, he can come here too, compete for a job. We'll trade Will Howard for Kindholes, and we'll see. Get another experienced quarterback in here, younger quarterback as well, that K-State might have a relationship with. So if you're listening, Lincoln, why don't you come on over? Just like John Calipari and Mitch Barnhart listened to 3 Mall the other day to retain John Calipari. So
good.
You know, good decision. Good decision. Good work, Kentucky. That is smart. That is fiscally sound way to be a good fiduciary of your dollars.
USC, just go hire a mid-major coach or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was going to say, though, John, on the quarterback front, like a perfect example really is Kansas.
Cool. Hang on. Cool. You're missing the obvious here. You're going to Lincoln Kindholes out of the, hey, transfer back here if the Ohio State quarterback thing doesn't work out. There's a guy who literally, I mean, the offense I'm sure will change a little bit this year, but, you know, he knows the lay of the land a little bit there.
That, no.
You know.
I'm sure he's itching to come back. Yeah.
I'm sure we'd match the NIL for number two there. That's talking about like what he's getting at Ohio State. So, I was just going to say, though, Kansas is a perfect example because they got Jason Bean back last year, who, you know, knew Jalen Daniels had an injury history and he was willing to come back. And he was probably the best backup quarterback in college football last year from a performance standpoint with what he did. And Kansas State has been a shining light of this example to what you brought up earlier as well, because how blessed have they been the last 2 years to have two quarterbacks that were capable each of the last two seasons when you had Adrian Martinez and then he went down and you had Will to step in. And then last year you had Avery behind Will. So those are just two nice examples plus KU. So, you know, There's a spot for these guys that can be contributors in the backup room as a quarterback.
So, by the way, Tom Moore was the offensive coordinator of the Indianapolis Colts, who had that quote from 1998 to 2008, the OC of the Colts. There you go, little lesson for everybody.
Let's hope no one's kids were listening when you read that quote.
Oh. Well, I was about to make a joke of like, this is why nobody practices backup reps as the main host of 3 Ma, you know, because if John goes down, then, you know, we're just.
I have to practice that a lot because John's absent several times for me, you know, but you wouldn't know because you don't listen to the shows that we do when it's just me. So I used to be such an inexperienced backup host, guys, but I think I've gotten maybe a little bit better day by day. And, you know, the NIL package for me to be the number two. You know, I've been willing to take that.
We had to step up our NIL game there to keep Cole around. Now that that's going, Cole, you've come a long way since the Powercat game days at Tubby's back in like 2011.
Powercat game days at Tubby's for Kansas State basketball back when we did an hour preview show. Those were the days. John Kurtz battled through 102 fever one time on one of the shows we did against Missouri. Kicked their ass that day.
That's what I was trying to remember what year that was that happened. Yeah.
That was Jacob Pullen. It was 11 because it was Pullen's senior year and they beat him 80-70 in Ramlage Coliseum.
Okay.
DY's like, I don't, He was like, I don't care about radio shows you guys did 13 years ago.
So, well, that's what the people are here for. And if you want more of that, make sure that you go to patreon.com/threema. Join the Discord where we reminisce about that. We had some people telling great stories about their time working at Jimmy John's in Aggieville the other day and everything that happened working the night shift at Jimmy John's in Aggieville. So you can get all that for $5 a month, folks. I don't know what more you could possibly want. And you can also get the great battle, the biggest battle that we have going on right now. I know Nick says host battle, question mark. The biggest battle that we have going on right now is Cole Manbeck versus Trilly Donovan. And that rages on in the Discord, patreon.com/threema, if you want to, to get on the Discord.
I also posted 4 videos, 2-minute videos on Patreon yesterday with 2-minute breakdowns of some of the top transfer portal targets Kansas State basketball is after, and kind of gave some advanced analytics and some numbers and background on those guys as they're trying to get some guys in for official visits here in the near future. So anyways, I know John hasn't watched those, so.
But it sounds like on that front, you know, probably a good time to be paying attention, you know, maybe some good things coming on down the line with the transfer portal. So make sure patreon.com/threema, check it out. Also check out our friends at Home Field Apparel. Check out our friends at Holiday Distillery. You guys know the drill. We appreciate all of their support of the pod. Thanks to Nick Springer behind the scenes for making all of this happen. For Derek Young and Cole Manbeck, I am John Kurtz. Thanks for listening to another Threema. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all 6 of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.